WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. You're listening to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
I remember, it's okay to play with yourself. As long as you have an action figure.
This Saturday, live from Atlanta, Georgia, the final contractual obligation. Right?
You hope?
Maybe. It could take place at the 40th Saturday night's main event, which we're here to talk about tonight on WTR Tonight Wrestle Talk Radio. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Hit the purple button below the screen. You can use credit card RocketSock and Fortnite items. It's hashtag Epic Partner. I am the producer, joined as always by the intern.
Everyone.
We also have one, Keishi Matsunaga.
Hello.
And we don't have one, Tim Stein.
Him is not next.
He's not.
At least this time he's got a good reason.
He's got a good reason this time, yeah.
He has some contractual obligations of his own.
He does have a contractual obligation of his own tonight.
See, Keishi and I were just embodying Goldberg and having the very quick, succinct intro. Just like all of his matches. Quick, succinct, hopefully shorter than 3 minutes. You know.
This begs the question, and this is where I'm putting Brent on the spot to go find the answer. What's his longest match?
All right, hang on. His longest match was against Triple H.
Not surprising. Probably 2003.
Yep, Unforgiven 2003. just 3 seconds under 15 minutes.
That's pretty good.
Unforgiven 2003. I think Hunter had he was wearing those shorts.
Oh, for his quads.
For his quads were kind of messed up, I think.
Yeah, sickle short style outfit.
Yeah. He wasn't moving so well. So the fact that they got 15 minutes out of it.
One of his other longest matches, so let me see, Goldberg versus The Rock was 13 minutes and 3 seconds from Backlash 03. The match that ended a career, essentially, went 12 minutes and 7 seconds at Starrcade 99.
Oh, wow.
Goldberg-Lesnar at 20 went 13 minutes and 43 seconds. God, it felt longer than that.
So he never passed the 20-minute mark.
No, he never passed. Actually, no, there's a match that went longer than Triple H in WWE that was just chamber. Under 20 minutes.
Was that the chamber?
Goldberg, Triple H, and Kane. Armageddon, 2003.
Was he ever in a chamber?
Yeah, he was in one. At least.
Was he?
I feel like he was in a chamber match.
Oh, wait, I think you're right. I think he was in a chamber match with Hunter.
Yeah, SummerSlam. I want to say SummerSlam 03.
Yep, 03. He participated in the Elimination Chamber with Triple H, Nash, Orton, Michaels, and Jericho.
Nash had his hair, got his hair cut. It was all blonde, and then it got shaved by Jericho on the Raw beforehand.
And I want to say this is the one where Goldberg ran roughshod through the entire chamber, and then it was him and H at the end, and H won.
Which led to,
because everyone was like, the fuck?
Which led to Unforgiven.
Yeah.
Okay, so his longest singles match is almost under 14 minutes. Maybe has a 20-minute match because of a three-way.
Yeah, just under 30 minutes, or just under 20 minutes for a triple threat.
And whatever the chamber match was. At least 30, yeah. But he was not working on that one.
No. although he did have his spots where he came in and ran roughshod.
Yeah, but he was sitting in a pot for a majority of it. So there is that. So this leads to this question. What is your favorite Goldberg moment? Go with Casey first.
So, I mean, mine is kind of like accumulation of moments put together.
That's
which
fine.
Is, yeah, so my, and I mean, it's funny because most of it has to do with his opponent, but basically the entire feud that Jericho and Goldberg had was my favorite. And that includes like the match that they ended up having in the WWE later, which I consider the blow-off match to that feud.
Most people would.
Yeah, but like, I mean, if Goldberg was, you know, had a little bit more experience in the business in WCW, they probably would have finished it off properly there. But you know, you have Jericho basically calling out Goldberg on a weekly basis and him not showing up and racking up quote unquote wins against him, going undefeated. And I mean, they sort of had a blow off in WCW, but that had more to do with just Goldberg not wanting to like give a proper payoff, so he just kind of like speared Jericho and that was it. But
yeah,
they ended up having that match in WWE in 2003, and I mean, we got, you know, there was it was a little bit clunky, but I mean, it's a Goldberg match, but you got him, like, they figured out a way to like draw that out, make him a little bit vulnerable. I mean, yes, it had to do with the fact that he like speared a barricade. But still, and I mean, you know, 3-4 years after the fact, Jericho kind of pulled a passable match out of him, and the whole feud kind of paid itself off. So the fact that we got, like, the fact that I got to see the proper, like, a proper ending to that feud that I thought was freaking hilarious when Jericho was, like, at his best as a heel, in my opinion, is my favorite part. Like, moment of Goldberg's.
Well, one of the best things about that entire thing was you kept Goldberg, you didn't really hurt Goldberg that much through that angle. And I mean, some of it was the fact that he didn't want to face Jericho. But it was also this thing of like Jericho going out there and doing what he did elevated Jericho even more in being the chicken shit heel and like made his character even better overall without hurting Goldberg. It wasn't at his expense.
I mean, it barely involved Goldberg most of the time too.
Right. It was Jericho carrying the whole thing. But the thing is, it put so much, it took Jericho up another notch, which is something that normally it's just like, oh, you'd see this kind of comedy stuff and be like, oh, whatever. But you were actually engaged with this. You're like, no, let's see where this goes. Okay, it's like, yeah, he finds new ways to get, like, these victories over Goldberg who's not there. Until finally it's like you said, he gets the payoff of Goldberg shows up, throws the spear on him, and it's just like, all right, you learned your lesson.
So, that was Casey's. Sure is Brant.
So mine, as much as I give shit to the contractual obligation thing, my favorite moment was when we got Goldberg versus Brock the first time after 20. When we got that match at Survivor Series.
A minute and because 16 seconds?
Yeah, because the thing is we saw this and we're going, oh god, this was awful before. Oh, what are they going to do? And like Brock was at his height of being the beast, and Goldberg, you know, was he's sitting there at, you know, late 40s, early 50s. You're like, oh, Jesus Christ. And then he goes in and in under 2 minutes, eviscerates Brock Lesnar. And it was one of those, like, after it happened, and I just remember, like, even we were just like, I can't believe that happened. I can't believe they did this. Holy shit. It was one of those kind of honestly shocking moments. And then it's like later you got Goldberg beating Kevin Owens in quick fashion to get the Universal title. And then ultimately Brock would get the win back. But it was still just this kind of moment of like, it truly felt like old school Goldberg. Like they booked him back like they did with WCW, and you were kind of, it made you feel like you were a kid watching again. Now, all the stuff that happened after that, when it became kind of quote-unquote contractual obligation, that was a bit hard to get through, but I just liked that moment where you're just sitting there like, holy shit, did he just beat Brock Lesnar like he was nothing? And it was your lasting image from that show too, because it was the main event. It's like, boom, they hit that end of show, and you were like, wait, what? And so you had to simmer on it for a while. That was probably one of my favorite Goldberg moments.
That was promoting the video game. Fantasy versus reality. Fantasy Warfare, whatever it was, something like that. That year. But now we return to the site where he had his biggest moment in Atlanta, Georgia, when he went to the Georgia Dome and did the U.S. title thing, and then won the World Heavyweight title the same night, holding up two belts. Question now remains, on his final night, will he be holding up the big gold belt one more time?
Technically, it's not the big gold.
But it's still a big gold belt. I know what you mean. It's a big gold belt.
Yeah. No, I get it.
It is big and gold. And it is a belt.
It is a belt. It has all the things. It looks like a thing. Just has a big giant W in it. W on it. So is he going to be champion on Saturday?
It's hard because they are announcing this as the retirement match.
Yes.
So part of it is that question of, well, if he wins, what happens? Because it's supposed to be it. But if he wins the title, does he drop it? Do they do a tournament? Is it, nope, he's around until he loses the belt? So that's one of the big questions coming out of this. Also, I don't know if it's great for Walter or for Gunther to lose to Goldberg right now.
Yeah.
Especially when you've had him built up for so much of, you know, the 666-day IC title reign. The first world heavyweight title reign.
I counter that, and then there was also the Fiend that fell victim.
I get that. So, I would also contend the Fiend losing the belt to Goldberg did not help him at all.
No, I'm just saying anything's possible.
Oh, I absolutely understand. And part of this is I am very much leaning towards picking Goldberg to win just for the pure chaos of it. Because you know me, I like to see crazy shit happen. I like to cheer for the wild thing to go down. And so, like, for me, part of it is like, yeah, I kind of want to see, like, does Gunther get his comeuppance for punking Goldberg in Atlanta last time? And so Goldberg comes out, puts down Gunther, but I would also contend someone else is on the card, so you get that happy moment of Goldberg winning in front of his quote-unquote hometown crowd, and everything's hunky-dory. And then flames hit, and someone decides that they're gonna cash in. Because that way, you get both things. You get Goldberg winning his title in his hometown, in his last moments, and yet you can still keep things going because he's not going to be champion coming out of this entire show.
The weirdest thing about this match is it's on network television. So you know time-wise, when they come out, you'll know how long the match is because it's not a Peacock event, like a network event where they can go as long as they want or as short as they want. You'll know when it's the main event and there's 5 minutes left, you know how short the match or long the match is going to be. That's kind of interesting.
Again, we don't know, because if they come out with 15, 20 minutes left, they could only have a 7-minute match because there's going to be clusterfuckery that happens afterwards.
They could. It could. But if they come out at 9:45, 9:50, you know they're not filling.
It's going to be quick. Yeah. Now, the other thing is do they throw us a curveball and not make this the main? I mean, I know that because of Gunther Goldberg, it has to be the main. But what if they throw us a curveball and it's the second to last match? And now all of a sudden we're like, oh, huh.
No, this is, it's the main.
I know.
It's his final match. You go out with this one. It's going to be an interesting one, Keish.
Yeah. all of what Brent said is like, it's very, very, very possible. There was some stat floating around that like, for I think it's like 75-80% of Gunther's WWE career, he's been a champion. So you can kind of like, if you look at it from that perspective, you have, well, if they kind of have so much stock in him, are they going to let him lose to Goldberg? But then you flip the other side of the coin and you go, Goldberg has so much hype behind his career. Is this the type of person that they feed to him? But also, like Brent said, Seth waiting in the wings with that briefcase and having the heaters that are the Bronze, you can theoretically have Goldberg win that championship from Gunther. Maybe not necessarily in a quick fashion, if they don't want like the internet whining about protecting Gunther. But I think Seth will cash in order to get Goldberg's final championship title in his retirement match, and then have Seth cash in so that contractual obligations don't have to be extended in any way. It makes a ton of sense to do that from a booking perspective. If you're the WWE and you want Goldberg to be hyped up in his hometown, but also not have him have to wrestle another match.
Hello, Mans goes, I'm curious if Goldberg can actually get Gunther for the jackhammer.
Using Rock's point, he got the Fiend up. Was it the prettiest version? No.
But that was before he probably re-injured his shoulder, I think he did in training. So
it might be a fast one.
I don't think it's gonna be a fast one. Did you see him walk to the ring the other week? I don't. Yeah, he think he hurt his knee too in training, so he was kind of.
No, I just meant the jackhammer was gonna be quick.
Oh yeah. But I'm just saying,
like not like a hold him up in the air. It'll be like a very, very quick one.
Because we've seen him deliver jackhammers to like Nash and Giant and like. They weren't, I'm going to hold you up there for an exorbitant amount of time. It was, I'm getting you up and, oh God, you're going down.
It'd be crappy for them to relegate Gunther to a transitional champion. I hate to say it. That's wrestling.
They put the title on Gunther for this specific purpose. They did it so that Jey Uso wasn't going to be the one, you know, dropping possibly a title to Goldberg.
Mm-hmm. And it also made more sense for this to be the match. All right, right. I'm putting it to the gun. Who's winning, Keish?
Goldberg with a Seth Rollins cash in.
Right.
I mean, I proposed it, and I said I want chaos, so I have to go. Goldberg wins here, and then cluster fuckery happens after. Because here's the thing: if Goldberg is in even a 10-minute match with Gunther, it's going to be hard hitting. He's going to take punishment. And then when Seth comes out, he has his two goons, which are going to rough up Goldberg. So if it's everyone complaining about, oh, Goldberg won the title and then dropped it to Seth so easily, it's going to be like, yeah, because he got the shit kicked out of him by three other people.
Yeah, I want to see a Bron Breakker spear Goldberg.
Well, there's that, and then what I would love, the way I would set it up is, you have Braun hit him with a spear, and, you know, Goldberg can take it, or, you know, half sell it if need be, but then what you do is you have Bronson Reed hit three or four tsunamis on him to really drive that, because remember, he did it to Seth, he's done it to other people, it's like, you can only have a 350, or like 320, 350 pound plus guy dropping on you from the top rope so many times before even the biggest dude is like, okay, this hurts.
Yep.
Don't wrestlers go out on their shields for the retirement matches, though? I will raise you that and then name you Trish Stratus.
There's a couple of people who have gone out on top. Sting.
Sting.
They made an entire thing about him going out victorious. Because remember, they won the tag team championships and then had to create a tournament for it because he won and retired.
No. When she retired, because she retired for a while, her retirement match in 2006, 6, 7? In that time frame, she won the women's championship by making Lita submit. It was in Toronto. That was her first retirement match for whatever, a decade, I guess? Something like that. And, or at least 4 or 5 years. That was her, on her way out, she won her championship. It was at Unforgiven of that, whatever year it was. I would go raise you guys this. Goldberg could win on Saturday. Seth doesn't cash in on Saturday. You have a Monday Night Raw cash in when you figure out what Goldberg's going to do next with the championship. And you hold the cash in there. Big Raw moment.
That is also a likely scenario.
But we'll see. There's two other matches announced for this show. First, we'll have Randy Orton and Drew McIntyre. What are we thinking?
Interesting setup with this one.
Yeah.
Because we had Randy come out with Cody, and then Drew kind of interjected himself into that. Because our big questions were like, what happens to Randy after King of the Ring? Because there was that moment that he was looking really kind of pissed off. Were we going to see a turn? And with that, we kind of saw, oh, now Drew is jumping in here, and that's where they're taking Randy now. It's okay, him and Drew are going over here so that Cody is now going to focus on John.
Yeah.
So it's also the first time we've seen Drew since the stuff with Damian. So we had them fight in the steel cage. Damian casually walked out of the cage, which I know a lot of people didn't like that finish, but... So Randy's coming off of the loss at King of the Ring. Drew's coming off the loss at against Damian in the steel cage. So it's interesting which one is going to come out on top from this match. Or who needs it more.
I'll pose this to Cage. Randy losing, wouldn't that drive him more? A Randy loss?
I think it would. And like, if you look at, you know, the last match he had where, you know, he's like, I will do whatever it takes to win against Cody. And he hesitated on a lot of those things. And it ended up costing him the match. So him losing this match to McIntyre could be just like one more thing that will push him in that direction of like following through with doing whatever it takes to win. Maybe we get a more heelish Randy going forward after this, as he kind of reevaluates, maybe, you know, hesitating and stuff is not the way to win. And I mean, most people enjoy Randy as the heel, the Viper, the Legend Killer. So maybe that's the way he kind of rolls, and we get like one final heel run at the end of his career, or even just for a little while. But I think a loss here for Randy actually drives his character arc. And I think that's even a more interesting thing to look at as to where he goes from here versus having Drew lose, because then it's just another loss under Drew's belt. And there really isn't a whole lot for him to kind of build on because he's been gone for a bit. So I think Drew wins, and kind of that gets him kind of been back into maybe a top contender status, whether or not that happens sooner or later. But at least, you know, he comes back and he hits the ground running. And then Randy losing kind of drives his story arc as to like, you know, what does he do after, you know, losing a big profile match to Cody because he hesitated, and losing this match to Drew for whatever reason they end up going with.
Well, it bounces back to you, Brent. Who wins this match?
So for me, part of the problem with the whole like, okay, maybe you do the angle where it's like Randy gets pushed further into the Viper aspects of it. The only problem is we saw this exact same angle happen involving Cody at its onset within the past year. This is just the Kevin Owens story. And instead of Randy turning on Cody in this instance, it would just be, okay, Randy takes that storyline and runs with it. It's just not against Cody Rhodes. And for that, I just feel like it's too close to that. And the only way I see that this could pay off is if you had a heel Randy to bring back a face Kevin to face him, because that is still lingering out there. The only problem was Kevin being the heel is what precipitated all of the issues with him, you know, pile driving Randy Orton and putting him out for a while. And then when they're supposed to face off, Kevin was legitimately hurt and couldn't compete. So it would feel weird if it's like, okay, Randy becomes the legend killer, and then someone that has to come back and stop him is a face Kevin Owens, because the problem is the dynamics would be flipped from what they were supposed to be.
Yeah, but we're at least a year away from that, if ever.
True. The only reason I say that is where it seems to go is because a lot of what Kevin is doing recently, like the Cody interview, is casting him as kind of, you know, the lovable Kevin Owens. Like, his interview with Cody was fucking fantastic.
It was.
But for this, yeah, I would say McIntyre should win here. Just, I think he needs a little bit more of the restructuring or, you know, rebuilding in this case than Randy does. Maybe you could keep Randy face still and just have him get more of an edge again. Like, he isn't afraid to go where he needs to win, but he isn't going to go the full-blown heel. Because I think one of the things is, I think Randy really enjoys being a face right now. Ever since he did the stuff with, you know, Matt Riddle, when Riddle was still with the company, and some of the other things, you can see he's having fun on basically his last stretch with the company. He's still going to, you know, probably disappear for a little bit, come back again, but all in all, he's winding down. His neck and back are giving way eventually. But I think McIntyre needs a little bit more in this instance, so that's why I would pick him to win right now.
LA Knight, yeah, takes on Seth freaking Rollins.
I was going to say it now. Seth is going to get this one. Mm-hmm. You don't have him as the money. I mean, I know the old thing was like, oh, Money in the Bank, they lose so that when they do cash in, it's a surprise. No, the whole thing with Rollins right now is you need to build him up. You need him to be the messiah, you know, the visionary with the bodyguards, essentially, to do stuff. And LA Knight is, right now, he is your sacrificial lamb in this instance.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, you can have, you know, you can have him, like, you can set this up where it's almost like a repeat of Money in the Bank, where it looks like he is going to get the victory, and then you have, you know, the muscle come in and cost him the match, which in turn gives Seth the win and protects LA Knight, because it's like a 3-1. And so he won't necessarily lose his step in that case. And I mean, he's not going to lose his momentum with the fans, because I mean, it's not, he almost does not need championships. He's, you know, he's gotten to his point in the company organically with, you know, his mic work and his ring skills and all that other stuff. So, like, him losing isn't going to cost him anything. And especially with Seth having, you know, a crew behind him to help him win these matches.
So you're both favoring Rollins on this one.
Yeah, I think with this, kind of like what Casey's touching on, it doesn't need to be that LA Knight gets fully punked out to Seth Rollins. He can put up a good fight. He can fight off the goons, but the numbers just end up doing him in, kind of thing. Like, okay, he neutralizes Breaker, and he's able to get away from Bronson Reed, but in the end, like, when he comes back into the ring, Seth hits the stomp, boom, 1, 2, 3. That way, he still puts up a good fight, but in the end, Rollins just has enough of what it takes to pull out the victory here.
All right, so Rollins for both of you.
Yes. Correct?
Okay, now we turn to that Saturday night's main event. There'll be other matches at it. We will be live next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, to review Saturday night's main event. There's an event taking place next Sunday.
Before we go
live, called WWE Evolution. And according to the internet, the most seven matches, the most thrown together card with no build, no nothing, and they deserve better. But then look at the card, and the top matches have been building for a while. But it, you know, it's just thrown together last minute, and you know, nothing is like, there's no story behind it. According to the internet, they deserve better. even though you look at the three of the matches on the show have long term build to them. But you know, that's beside the point. But there are seven matches, and we're a week out, which is good. We're to start with the NXT Women's Championship on the line. It is JC Jane versus Jordan Grace. We're just doing quick picks, simple and easy, because we have a surprise for Keisha here in a minute as well. So, Keish, JC Jane, or Jordan Grace, NXT Women's Championship?
Jordan Grace.
Brent.
Grace.
The Women's World Championship is on the line. Io Sky versus Rhea Ripley. Keishi?
Sky.
Brent.
I don't think they're going to put the title on Rhea.
So you're going Io Sky as well. It is a fatal four-way for the women's tag team titles. It is Roxanne Perez and Raquel Rodriguez defending against Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair versus a team from NXT and a team from Monday Night Raw. Both to be determined. Brent's going to tell you the internet's theory.
So, there is a visual going around. I don't know how accurate it is, but the two teams that are to be determined were revealed on this image as from NXT, Sol Ruka and Zarya, and from Raw, Maxine Dupri and Natalya.
So, based off of that, or whoever you think will fill them, you could just go Team Raw or Team NXT will win it. But who is winning the WWE Women's Tag Team title match at Evolution? Brent.
Don't know if I want to pull the belts off of Raquel and Roxanne because they just put them on.
Quick pick. Quick.
I understand. I'm just talking it through my head. Fine. I'll go with the SmackDown Blondes.
The SmackDown Blondes. Keishi.
Roxanne and Raquel retain.
Tiffany Stratton defends the Women's Championship against Trish Stratus. Brent.
Tippy time.
Keishi.
Stratton retains.
It is no holds barred. It is Jade Cardgill versus Naomi. Keishi.
Jade.
Brent.
Bow down to the queen.
There you go. There is a women's battle royal for a shot at a women's world championship at Clash in Paris. Three participants have been announced. Ivy Nile, Stephanie McCare, and Nia Jax. Those are three announced. You know the women's roster. Most likely a lot of them will be in it. Who will challenge for a women's world championship at Clash in Paris by winning this battle royal? Brent.
I know it's a quick pick. I have two choices right now. Part of me wants to say Stephanie Vaquer. The chaos part of me wants Nikki Bella. I'll go Vaquer.
Keishi.
I'll help your chaos theory and pick Nikki Bella.
Go Keishi.
And then the Women's Intercontinental Championship is on the line. Becky Lynch, Bailey, Lyra Valkyria.
Becky.
And there you go. That is Evolution. The Rack will be fully previewing it on Thursday and reviewing it the following Thursday. We're splitting it all up so everyone can review a different show. Speaking of reviewing a different show, this Saturday will be AEW All In, which means Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, myself and Brent. And if Keishi watches the show, he's more than welcome to join us. But most likely, it'll be me and Brent reviewing All In Texas for an hour.
That's happening on Saturday?
Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern.
Oh, it starts at 3.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's the invitations out there. We'll be live at 11:30 Eastern to talk
about
it.
If you watch it, cool. Rock and I are taking over CB Radio to do the recap.
Sounds good.
Which means we need picks to be made. We did the Excalibur Challenge last night, and we didn't quite get through them all. Got close. We came up, 3 short? 2.5 short?
We were 2.5. We were talking about the men's gauntlet at that point.
As of now, there are 8 matches. There's supposedly another multi-person match to be added and probably a pre-show match.
2 or 3 pre-shows.
Something like that, but it'll be less than the matches that they had last year. I mean, because you have
Well, that's good for them.
But you also have 2 gauntlet matches on the show, which means you're
eating up a lot of talent.
Eating a lot of talent and time on the show. So we're going to go through it, and you just make some quick little picks on this show as well. It is Timeless Toni Storm taking on Mercedes Moné for the AEW Women's Championship, Keishi.
Mercedes.
Brent's not a fan of Mercedes having 10,000 belts around her waist.
Neither am I.
It would also devalue the TNT Championship because she wouldn't defend both.
TBS. Get the network right.
TBS. I'm sorry.
Put some respect on the TBS Championship, Brent. Come on now.
Three title holders. No, I'm sorry. There's been more. My bad.
So there is that. It is, speaking of the TNT Championship, Adam Cole Bebe taking on Kyle Fletcher, Keishi. Who you got?
Fletcher.
Okay. It is the World Tag Team titles. The Hurt Syndicate taking on Jet Speed, taking on the Patriarchy for the tag team titles.
Hurt Syndicate.
It is in a match where the EVP ship is on the line-ish, kind of, maybe. If the Bucks lose, they're stripped of their EVP powers. But if Swerve and Ospreay lose, they can no longer challenge for the AEW World Championship for a year. So it's Swerve and Ospreay, Young Bucks, in a tag team showdown.
For a year, hey?
For a year.
Yep. I'm going to go with, I mean, Swerve and Ospreay.
Okay. It is the men's.
But he was going to give a description on that for a second. That's why I was like,
I think like the Young Bucks will lose their quote unquote EVP powers, but they won't lose their EVP powers, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah.
On screen EVP powers, whatever that means. It is the men's casino gauntlet match for the shot at the AEW women's future shot at the AEW World Championship.
Just pick a number.
Oh, pick a number. Out of what?
Between 1 to 21.
Oh, okay, that helps. 15.
Same for the women. Right.
12.
That's simple enough. It is the Texas Death Match for the AEW World Championship. Jon Moxley versus Hangman Adam Page.
Moxley.
Wow. Okay.
And I'll be happy if I'm wrong.
You're happy if you're wrong.
But okay. It's always one of those things where, like, the person who picks the match usually loses, regardless of the fact that Hangman Adam Page, shotgun clothesline Marina Shafir.
Yeah.
Buckshot right. Larry. That's the one.
That's the one you're looking for. I'll give Brent an actual minute to talk about this one because we didn't get to it last night. So give him a minute to rant about it. It is Okada versus Omega, winner takes all, for the AEW to crown the AEW Unified Champion.
I have a minute now? Okay, cool.
You have a minute.
So, sure, the internet's going to love the fact that it's Kenny Omega and Okada. My biggest problem is the fact that in your unified belt, you are putting both men on there as permanent side plates because it means whoever wins that belt from them feels like an afterthought. I get that they're the current champions, but basically what you're telling me now is all the international champions aside from Omega to have that belt mean nothing because Kenny Omega is on the unified title. And for the Continental Classic, it means, you know, Eddie Kingston, who won the original belt in the Continental Classic, means jack shit because only Okada is recognized as the Continental Champion. That's my biggest problem about this, is that, okay, cool, we're doing a glamour project so that we get Omega versus Okada, which, fine, is going to be a good match because that's what they put on. But at the same time, it devalues everyone that held either of those belts before and is now just creating this unified belt, which is glorifying Omega and Okada. There we go. Rant over.
And just for record's sake, who are you picking?
Because it's not a tournament and they've christened this person as the tournament, you know, the greatest tournament wrestler of all time. Plus, I think the fact that Omega needs retribution for the two beatdowns that Okada has given him. Never mind the fact that 3 weeks ago he was coughing up blood, and yet now he's going to be perfectly capable to wrestle. I'm going to go Omega in this case.
Keish?
Omega. I don't know if I'm supposed to give an explanation,
you can.
But
you can. You got. You can. If you like.
I don't really have one. I just just based on how things are going, and now that, you know, Ibushi's in his corner, I'm going with Omega.
I think the biggest thing to weaken Okada was that he was put with the Don Callis family. It now puts him towards the mid card. It doesn't elevate the Callis family, it just lowers him.
Actual live feed is just dead on arrival at this point. So we're just going to wrap up the show.
Yeah, you went offline.
OBS is frozen. I can't get out at this point. Okay. But it's still recording, so that's why I'm just not touching it. Because I still see the numbers going up. So for those listening on the podcast, hi. We're wrapping up the show now. This has been WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it's a Raw post show. Whenever Raw ends, back at our normal time around 10:30 p.m. Eastern, to talk all things Monday Night Raw. Thursday night, it's The Rack live, 10 p.m. Eastern, previewing Evolution. Saturday night, as we've said, we're going to talk AEW All In at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. Then next Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, is WTR Sunday night. We'll talk about Saturday night's main event. Evolution recap will be live the following Thursday on The Rack. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/WildTalkRadio. It's at WTR Sunday on Facebook and Twitter. Tim's on social at Flames Forums. Kaish is on socials.
Yeah, you can find me on socials at Kyle Driver.
Brent's on socials.
You can find me on Twitter/X, Threads, Blue Sky, Instagram at either Kane Kittens or Kane.Kittens.
Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use credit code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop as hashtag Epic Partner. We'll see you all week long along the airwaves of the Wild Talk Radio Network. You're a drum, we're gonna pound it. Last one standing wins the fight. WildTalkRadio.com.